In Matthew chapter 25, our Lord taught a parable, taught two parables. The first parable was about the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. And then the Lord taught a parable about the talents. He said there was a 5-talent man, 2-talent man, and 1-talent man. You know the story. And in that parable, the 1-talent man was afraid, and he went out, and the Bible says he dug in the earth, and he hid his talent, and the Lord was displeased. But then when you get to Matthew chapter 25, the latter part of that chapter, you have a judgment scene. You have the Lord describing what it would be like and what it will be like in that day, the day of judgment. Now, I want to remind you what the Lord had already told us about Judgment Day and what the apostles had told us. First of all, in Acts 17, verse 31, God has pointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath raised and has given assurance, and He raised him from the dead. Hebrews 9, 27, it's appointed a man once to die, then the judgment. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we shall give an account of the things that we've done in our bodies, whether it be good or whether it be bad. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 10. There is a teaching that's beginning to grow, that's permeating some of our congregations, the idea of a renovated earth, that the Lord is, when you die, that you just go straight to heaven. There's not going to be a paradise, and that the Lord is going to destroy this world, and heaven is going to be here on earth. And Brother James Watkins used to say there's a Greek word for that. That's called hogwash in the Greek. Friends, there is coming one day in the future, this world will be no more. Everything that you and I know will be dissolved. Not with water, but with fire. 2 Peter chapter 3. The only thing that's really going to matter on that day, Judgment Day, will I be in heaven? Will I be on the right? Will I get to enjoy the beauties and the glory and the grandeur of that beautiful place called heaven? You see, you have an option. God has called us to accept Him and to accept His will. You're not predestined or predetermined by God that you're going to be saved or you're going to be lost. God, in His foreknowledge, knew that all those that would be in Christ would be saved. We know that. But we have a choice. You have a choice today. You came to this building today because you had a choice. You leave this place today because you have a choice. You have a choice today on what you're going to choose to do and live and how you're going to live. The question is, will you be on the left or will you be on the right? In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46, there was a Jehovah Witness one time that came and knocked on my door, and he said, we got to talking, and I said, do you believe in eternal hell? And he said, not like you do. I said, well, you don't know how I believe because I haven't told you yet. I believe just like Scripture. And I said, do you understand Matthew 25, 46? He said, there's no hell. He said, hell's here on earth. I said, that's not what the Lord said. The Lord said in Matthew 25, verse 46, and the wicked or those that are unrighteous shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting, what's that? Life or eternal life. The same root word, Greek word, that describes the duration of heaven, eternal life, is the same root word that describes the duration of eternal damnation. And friends, it's not on this earth. There is a heaven and there is a hell. I like to preach sermons like this on Sunday morning because this may be my only shot. Some of you may not come back tonight or each night of this service. Maybe you've got reasons that the Lord understands, or maybe you just got some excuses you want to offer. But let me say this to you. You just remember this sermon. If I were to die, would I be on the left or would I be on the right? Let me share with you, as our brother read for us in verse 41, then the king will say to them, depart from me, them on the left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Not prepared for you, prepared for the devil and his angels. But yet, every person that refuses the pardon that Jesus offers will be on the left. Let's look at some folks who will be on the left today. First of all, nations that forget God will be on the left. Psalm 9, verse number 17 says, and the wicked shall be turned into hell, and the nations that forget God. Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool that says there is, the man that says there is no God, he is a fool. What? Nations. Could you imagine? Now, I know we're not really concerned about nations on the Day of Judgment. I'm more concerned about me as an individual. I'm more concerned about my family. But the fact of it is, the Bible says that there will literally be nations and nations that forgot God. Friends, our nation has forgot God. Do you understand that? When we allow 9 Supreme Court judges to make rules and laws that are contrary to the Word of God, that nation has forgotten God. When we don't even know whether we are a male or a female, we're in trouble. When we as a nation will allow 2 males or 2 females to come together and to be supposedly married, they're not married, can't be married. But when they come together as a nation and we recognize that as a marriage and give them the benefits of any other married couple, we are in trouble. When we as a nation forget that there is a supreme God, and it is God who has given us His authority and given us His will according to Scripture, and we don't recognize that, and we don't obey that, we are a nation that forgot God. Number 2, those who have rejected Jesus. In Matthew chapter 19, the Bible tells us, beginning with verse 16, that there was one that came to Jesus, and he even asked the right question. Mark 10:17 said, Lord, what must I do to have eternal life? He asked the right question. He asked the right person. He asked Jesus, what must I do to have eternal life? And the Lord told him in that context, He said, well, you've got to keep the commandments. He said, well, I've done that from my youth up. And He gives us 5 of the 10 commandments. But the Bible says there's one thing lacking. Is there one thing lacking right now in your life? Do you believe Jesus Christ, Son of God? That's great. I'm glad you do. But do you have one more thing lacking? Have you repented of your sins? Have you gotten to the point that you're willing to change your mind, to change your actions, to change your heart, and that results in a changed life? Is that lacking in your life? Maybe you've done that. Maybe there's something else lacking in your life. Maybe you've never been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins like the Lord said in Mark 16, 15 and 16. Is that lacking in your life? Maybe you've done that, but you've been unfaithful to God. Maybe that's lacking. There's one thing lacking now in Matthew 19, and the text says that he was told to sell his possessions and to give all that he had. And the Bible says that he went away sorrowful. One translation, especially the Greek text, uses the word grieving. He was grieving. Grieving. The King James that I use here, it says, and he went away sorrowful. Are you going to go away sorrowful today? Are you going to go away today grieving? Because you refuse to listen to what the Lord said in order to live and to be in harmony with the will of God. And the Bible says, and he went away sorrowful. Those who reject Jesus will be rejected by Jesus. Friends, you'll be on the left. As I put this sermon, I've never preached this sermon before, so this is one of my new ones. And I thought about this. Wouldn't it be great if we could reach masses and masses and masses of people, and for them, if they got to hear one sermon, and this one sermon would be that nations can forget God, and if you reject Jesus, Jesus will reject you. Think about it. It's going to be too late on that day to beg and to plead and say, Lord, I really didn't intend to reject you. Lord, I didn't really mean to turn away from you. I didn't mean to put it off. Lord, I'm sorry. Wait, you're on the left. It's going to be too late. They will go into everlasting punishment. And when you've been there 10,000 years, that punishment will continue to be there. Not only that, there'll be a lot of people on that day that will be honestly mistaken. Most of you here today, or a lot of you here today, probably raised or reared up in the Lord's church. I wasn't. And I'll be honest with you. The first time I ever attended, and maybe you're here today for the first time, I don't know. But the first time I ever attended the Church of Christ, I thought it was the most boring. I thought it was the most... I don't know. I just didn't feel like y'all had any spirit about you, and you just didn't. But I thought I could help you guys if you just listened to me. But the problem of it was I didn't understand what worship was about. See, I just knew what I'd always been taught. And so the first time that I ever came to church and they were singing that song, Marching to Zion, and it took them forever to get to Zion, slow, dragging. Preacher gets up and he reads a sermon off, and I said, wow. But listen to me. When we come to worship, we come to worship not to glorify and honor a man. It's not about some kind of drama. It's not some kind of personal experience that we're going to have in order to bring us to God. No, my friends, we are proskuno. We are worshiping. We are bowing down before the Lord, so to speak. We are submitting to God. We want to bring honor and glory. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether I eat or I drink, I do all to the glory of God. Everything about our lives is about worship. So therefore, I can be misled. I can be honest and sincere. We'll talk about that one night this week. Where a man that was very sincere, very honest. And friends, the first time I started reading the scriptures and reading the Bible, it took me a year to really come to an understanding, because I couldn't believe what the Bible said. But that's not what I've always believed. That's not what my parents taught me. That's not what most people in the world believe. And I finally came to the understanding that the majority of the people in the world has never been right before God. You examine that. You go back to Genesis 6 and 7. How many were right? 8. You go back to Sodom in Genesis 19. You go all the way through. There was a remnant that was right that God brought out of captivity. What did Jesus say about that? Enter ye into straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many will go in thereat. Because wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. The straight and narrow way, there just be a few that find that way. The majority's not right. And so in Matthew 7, as he brings the Sermon of the Mount to a climax, he said this: not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Here's the problem. Somebody asks me sometimes, well, you think you're the only ones going to heaven? I know who's going to heaven. Jesus said who was going to heaven. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, is going to heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? He said, many will say unto me in that day. There we are talking about that day, judgment day. Many in that day They have prophesied in thy name, they cast out devils, they've done many wonderful works. But then will I profess unto them, those that were doing good works, those that were honest, those that thought they were right, depart from me, I never knew you. My friends, don't you be in that category. You can be honestly mistaken. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. I heard a preacher say one time that he was going into a community to hold a gospel meeting on a Saturday. He was going to the motel room, and as he was going to the motel room, he said there were people laying everywhere. Folks were covered with blood. There was red lights. There were sirens going on. He said it looked like that maybe there had been a shooting, and said he was just distraught. He went around it, and he said people were running, and they were carrying people and putting them in the ambulance. And he said he got over to the hotel, and he got to the office, and he said, "What in the world is going on down there?" He said, "Has there been a shooting?" He said, "There are people laying everywhere, and there's blood all everywhere." "Oh," she said, "you didn't know?" "No. No, I didn't know." "Oh," she said, "this is just a practice run." He thought it was the real thing. He was distraught. He was at emotional high. You see, my friends, you can think something is right and it still be wrong. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12, Proverbs 16:25. "Oh Lord, we know that it's not within man to direct his own steps." Jeremiah 10:23. "The man that trusts in his own feelings, he's a fool. But he that walketh wisely shall be delivered." I'm here to tell you that the majority of this people in this world today, they are mistaken. They may be honest, but they're mistaken. Why do we have religious buildings on every corner in almost every community? Why is it that we've got people that claim to be religious, but they go and they choose the one they want? You know why they choose the one they want? Because they think that one's right. They like something about that particular group. But sometimes we just don't open up the Bible and we say, okay, which one is right with God? What does the Bible say about that? Which one is it that's going to get me to heaven? What is it that I've got to do? So my friends, those that are honestly mistaken will be those on the left. They thought they were doing right. They felt like they were right. That's the reason I've said this many times. I preach on the radio every day, and I say this up at Lafayette on the radio. Just because you may think it's right, just because you may feel it's right, doesn't make it right. The authority is Scripture. Number four, I want you to notice those that turn back from following Jesus. Did you know if Churches of Christ could get our unfaithful members back into our buildings, we would double in size? Oh, it's sad. How in the world can a man or a woman who once tasted that heavenly gift, who were partakers, who understood the benefits of being in Christ and understood what it was like to be able to be in fellowship with the Lord and fellowship with the saints of God and was growing in their faith and knowledge and understanding of the Lord, and they enjoyed their walk with God, how in the world could they go back out into the world? You may be here today and say, "Well, I don't know for sure you can." I promise you can. Scripture says you can. 1 Corinthians 10:12. "Take heed, therefore, to those that think that you can't fall. Take heed, lest you do fall." In Galatians 5:4, those that were going back under Judaism to be justified, he said, "You have fallen from grace." Hebrews 6, you see it up there? They had tasted of the heavenly gift. They were partakers of all of these benefits of Christ. And you know what he said? "It is impossible to renew them again into repentance." You know why it's impossible to renew them again into repentance? Because they won't repent. Listen, Peter talks about how that these people that go back out into the world, they are like a dog swallowing their own vomit, eating their own vomit, or like a sow wallowing in the mire. He said it would have been better for them to have never known the truth and to know it and turn away from it. Could you imagine standing before God, having been baptized, having been added to the Lord's church, having been faithful, and to go back out in the world, and that day comes, judgment day comes, and you're on the left, and the Lord says, "Why? Why did you not repent? Why did you not come back? Why were you not faithful?" The point of it is, brethren, too many people turning back. We got too many of our own family members that's compromising truth. There was a lady told me one time that she goes to Life Church in Cookeville. About every 10 years, there'll be a new group start, and that's going to be the up-and-coming thing. Then there'll be another group come, and up another group. And she said, in a Bible class one day, said the preacher said, okay, said, I want to do a little survey today. How many of you here used to belong to this denomination? And several raised their hand. So how many belong to that denomination? Several raised their hand. How many of you belong to the Church of Christ? She said, 54 people raised their hand. I'm telling you something, brethren. When we don't have any more convictions than that, when we are not serious with Scripture and we open up what the Bible says, to me, we're not motivated by love for truth. Somebody says, well, now you're judging nurse. I'm not judging. That's not my job. Whether God sends people to heaven or hell, that's His job. I just know what Scripture says. That's my job. And what my job is today is to tell you that if you compromise the truth, if you compromise doctrine, if you compromise what the Bible says, it doesn't matter if it's for friends, family, or foe. It's wrong. I've had mamas and daddies defend their children for leaving the church. Can't do that. It's wrong. They're going to be on the left one day. And if you're on the left, it's going to be eternally late. Too late. Oh, my friends. Those who turned back, then those who procrastinated. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse number 2, behold, today, now is accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. James says, you know, our life is like a vapor. It's here for a little while and soon it vanishes away. Peter says that we are like pilgrims. We're sojourners. We're straying pilgrims. Oh, this earth is not our home. We're just passing through. Procrastination. Maybe you're sitting in this building today, or maybe you're listening by way of Facebook or some other means, and maybe you've been procrastinating obeying the gospel. I beg and I plead with you, don't waste another day serving the Lord. Life is too short. I promise you that you'll never regret. There's a lot of things in my life that I have regretted, but there's one thing I never regretted. In September of 1977, when I was baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ, I have never, not one day, regretted ever being a Christian. Never have I. Never have I said, Lord, I'm sorry I did that. I wish I'd never done. Never have I done that. You know why? Because the same book that tells me what I had to do and what I must do is the same book that tells me today what I still have to do and must do in order to go to heaven. And what I've got to do is to be faithful to God. Friends, don't procrastinate. If you're not a Christian, why not obey the gospel today? Do you know you could make a decision today in a matter of just a few minutes that could seal your destiny if you would continue to live like you're supposed to live? You can make a decision today that would make a difference in your family. I was the first person in our family and the only person to become a New Testament Christian, a member of the Church of Christ. I would go to family get-togethers. We would have reunions, and I felt like I was the black sheep of the family. You know, I've never regretted that, not one moment. Because I have a son that's an elder. We have a son that's an elder in the church. We have a daughter that's married to a preacher. We have grandchildren that's members of the church. Not because of us, but because of decision that we made in 1977 that we were going to choose God and His way, and we weren't going to put it off, and we were going to change the direction that our family had been going, and we wanted them to go to heaven. We pray all the time. We want our grandchildren to go to heaven one day. And to be able to do that, they cannot procrastinate. I cannot procrastinate. Mamas and daddies, understand the value and the importance of teaching your children the ways of God and doing His will. Maybe today you're unfaithful. Maybe you've never come back home. You've got sin in your life. Maybe you're just attending just when it's convenient for you. Christianity is not a matter of convenience. It's a matter of commitment. And maybe today you need to say, hey, it's time for me to rededicate my life and to get serious about being a Christian. I hope you'll do that. Not only that, those on the left very well may be family members who are lost. I've got those. I've got family members that are lost, and it just breaks my heart. Wouldn't it be a sad day for those that had the opportunity? How many Bibles do we have in our homes today? How many Bibles do we have in America? The problem is not we don't have the Word. There's a famine in the land, but it's not of a physical Bible. The famine in the land today is a lack of respect and understanding and teaching and studying the Word of God. That's the problem in our societies today. And what happens sometimes in our families, our family members, they die unprepared, and we start thinking, well, now listen, God might save them anyway. No, they never accepted Jesus. They never obeyed the gospel. No, they never was baptized for remission of their sin. But God may expect to. You know, God, He loves everybody, and He's full of mercy and grace. And by the way, 1 John 4:8, God is love. There's no doubt about that. Ephesians 2:4-5 says He's rich in mercy and grace and love. We don't doubt that at all. But friends, God's not going to change His Word for you. He's not going to change your word, the Word for my family. I'm not going to try to seek God's will and do God's will just because my family's doing God's will. I want to do it because I want to go to heaven. And listen to me, family members may be lost. They may be on the left. You remember the fellow that died, the rich man that died? He said, send Lazarus back that he might teach my five brothers. And the Lord said, they've got Moses and the prophets. That was the law they were living under that day. You know what He would say today? They've got the New Covenant. They've got the New Testament. They've got Jesus and the apostles. Let them read. Let them study. And the point of it is, brethren, and what we're looking at today is that there is coming a day when God will judge this world and time will be no more. And the only thing really is going to matter in life then, will I go to heaven? We won't care who won the NCAA ball game. We won't care what's going to happen in the far as how many ball games our local teams are going to win. The only thing we'll care about or should be concerned about, will I be on the right or will I be on the left? Eternity is too long to get it wrong. Eternity is too long to get it wrong. When you've been there 10,000 years, it will only have begun. Now, I want to close this on a positive note. Are you aware of the fact today that he who knew no sin became sin that you might be made the righteousness of God? 2 Corinthians 5:21. Are you aware of the fact that if you're in Jesus Christ, that you can become a new creature? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Are you aware of the fact, and I'm sure you are today, that our Lord and Savior died for all of us that we might be saved and go to heaven and to enjoy the glory of the Lord and to be a place where there is no more pain, no more sorrow, where time means nothing to God? Are you aware of the fact that He died for you and gave everything up? Though He was rich, He became poor for your sake. What are you going to give Him? God's not going to be pleased with our leftovers. Just the other day, they baptized a person in our county. There were 6 or 8 men. They put a lady on a tarpaulin. They baptized her, and she died 6, 7 days later. Do I believe that she'll be in heaven? Well, I believe as long as there's life in the body, there's hope. She obeyed the gospel. But this is what I want to say to you. You don't know whether you're going to be given that chance. I don't know whether I'm going to be given that chance. And I don't know whether I'm going to fall over to dead tonight with a heart attack. Neither do you. And the fact of it is, however I draw my last fleeting breath, I will stand before God in judgment. Nothing changes as far as my spiritual condition once I die until I face the Lord in judgment. If I die lost, I'll be lost at the judgment. If I die saved, I'll be saved at the judgment. Aren't you glad that our Lord loves us and is so long-suffering and merciful toward us? I fail Him. I thank God for the mercy of God. I thank God for His grace. Someone says, well, the churches of Christ don't really believe in grace. My friends, I don't know who you've been talking to. If it wasn't for the grace of God and His unmerited favor, we wouldn't have a chance. But no one's going to be saved by grace alone or faith alone. We're going to be saved by God's grace, our faith, that is a faith that moves us to obey what God says. If you're not a Christian today, would you come, believe that Jesus died for your sins, repent in your mind and your heart, and would you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? I used to argue about that. I spent a year arguing, asking everybody in the country, what's that verse mean? What's that verse mean? You don't have to be a Bible scholar to understand Mark 16:16. You have to be an honest Bible student. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be condemned. I stood in an auditorium that was filled with over 300 people one night. They were 14 denominational preachers, and I was up talking about Mark 16:16, and they were laughing and they were scoffing, and my mom and dad sitting behind them. My mom and dad were not members of church, but they were angry at the way they were treating me. And it really didn't bother me that they were doing that, but what bothered me is, if you don't obey what God says, you're going to be lost. You can laugh about it, you can scoff it, you can argue, you can get upset. You can just say, hey, I ain't listening to what that guy says, but the fact of the matter is, you have to face it in the judgment. Are you on the left? Or are you on the right? If you need to come back home, we'll pray with you and for you. Would you come while together we stand as we sing?